This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
One of the strangest weekends I can remember. We're in total elation, excitement. We made it to the AFC Championship. Oh, and one of the guys that was responsible for getting you there is done for the season. Enter Jared Stidham. Is a big story awaiting, or will the Broncos' dreams crash and burn with Bo Nix's ankle? The UNC Bears are on a very nasty slide. We got another firing in Buffalo. Basketball updates. Oh, and by the way, in case you forgot, it's the national championship game tonight, right? Yeah, right? Right? 87 years later. The whole show starts now. Excitement. The Broncos win 33-30. Everything that I said, Mike, was looking good. If the Broncos are going to do it all, it's going to be because Bo Nix elevated his quarterback status from tier 2.5 to tier 1. Everything was looking good. Defense made some big plays, and we're going to get to that. Everything was looking great. Final and overtime, 33-30, Broncos win. Sean Payton does his post-game press conference, then leaves. The media in attendance is told to stick around, big announcement coming up. They don't know what to expect because none of us saw it really happen. Sean Payton looks showered and dressed, ready to go home, and then drops this with the media in attendance for all of us to watch.
I love you guys so much, I wanted to come back. Not good news. On the second to last play in overtime, Bo fractured a bone in his right ankle. He's scheduled to have surgery Tuesday of this week, which will put him out for the rest of the season. Steady's ready to go. And it was, yeah, it was the second to last play before he threw the pass to Mims. Birmingham is where he'll have the surgery with Dr. Waltrip. And I don't really think there's any other questions. You know, in other words, this is just is what it is. And we felt like it'd be best to just tell everyone now.
Tough to do. Sean Payton handled that really well. That situation is difficult, but I think having him come out and address that quickly, I thought every post I was seeing, I thought at first he was someone was hacked. I saw Adam Schefter post on it first because I'll admit I was not watching the live post game. No, it wasn't the second to last play. It was, because you had the field goal, you had the kneel down, then you had the 30-yard penalty. It was the run with 6 minutes and 4 seconds left in overtime. Bo Nix is in the shotgun. He runs it left end to Buffalo's 38 for a negative 2 yards. It was that play. Now, we didn't obviously see that unless you're really good at deciphering whether or not there was an injury when a guy gets right up. But now that we know, if you go back and watch how he walked after that, was it an obvious limp? No. But you could see more of a ginger walk for Bo Nix as he walked off at least walked back to the huddle at that point, then was able to make a throw. So he did it and then made a throw. You had the pass interference on Tre'Davious White, and he did not think that was interference. That was absolutely interference. Then the Broncos kneel it, but then you have an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Broncos kick the field goal. Will Lutz, money, makes it. I see on social media, pan over to Bo Nix. Somebody posted, I think it was Barstool Sports, said, Bo Nix is absolutely exhausted. And I thought to myself when I saw that post, yeah, they're probably all tired, but I didn't get the sense that this was Donovan McNabb's Super Bowl vibes where he's just so done, he has nothing else left to give. I did not get that vibe, so I thought that was odd. And then next thing we know, 30 minutes after the game, Bo Nix, ankle, out for season or what's left of it. Michael, good to have you back. You survived your broken ankle kind of thing, your flu. You didn't do a flu game for me on Friday.
Yeah,
but you're going to do a flu Monday.
I had a text at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, guys, there's something wrong with my body. It's shutting down. Yeah,
now
that
it's
was
back up.
A little
it's
disappointing
back up.
To see that our future is injured. And now it's up to our future trade to win the Super Bowl for us.
Yeah. Nick Foles made a nice post, if you all remember. It was, you know... you had Nick Foles take over as a backup quarterback years ago against the New England Patriots. Nick Foles made a post that, hey, the Patriots have a history of losing big-type, championship-type games when the backup quarterback comes in. Now, remember, Carson Wentz was having a phenomenal season in 2017. Then Nick Foles enters, and the Eagles still win a championship. Is that how this is going to go?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Bronco. He's a backup for a reason. What do I say on this show? Like, you always hear the next man up. You do hear that. But he is a backup for a reason. And at the time that he lost his job to Bo Nix, Bo was a rookie. Becoming a rookie, right? I think it's fair to say, if you watched Bo Nix's body of work for 2 years, you tell me if I'm wrong, but it's not a, to me, Bo Nix is not an obvious above average quarterback over his 2 year career. Now, this is why on Friday I talked about how much does this game define an early legacy for Bo Nix? A lot. And for one game, Bo Nix was the difference in this game. If you look back to their 31-7 loss last season, it was Bo threw for 144 yards, had a QBR of 63. This game, 279 yards, 3 tutties, 1 interception, QBR 64.7. Clearly the difference. Defense was forcing turnovers. Again, remember, the Bills scored 31 points last year. In that playoff game, in the first round. They scored 30 this year. Denver scored 33. There it was. It was like, wow, okay, defense had some holes in it, but what did they do in that game that they didn't do all season, Mike?
They forced some turnovers.
And game-changing turnovers. Okay, do you remember on Wednesday, Michael? On Wednesday, I said I was feeling uneasy about this game. You remember that? It was Wednesday. And I said, I fully expect Denver opening drive to go down with relative ease, then get held out of the red zone, settle for a field goal. Buffalo marches right back down, scores a touchdown. It's 7-3. Denver gets the ball back, and they go 3-and-out. Remember Wednesday when I said that? I said the exact same thing would happen.
I do remember you saying that.
So it's 7-3 Buffalo. Broncos go 3-and-out, punt it. The difference was?
Turnover.
James Cook, who was running all over the Broncos in that first possession, fumbles the ball. That changed the game. Now, I felt like at the time, uh-oh, everything I said is going to happen the way I said it on Wednesday. Everything's going to change. Buffalo's now going to run the table. They're going to roll right on down. They're going to go up 14-3. Denver's going to be playing catch up. But instead, you force a fumble, and Alex Singleton forces it, and then Hufanga recovers it. The Broncos take 8 plays, march down, score a touchdown, go up 10-7. That's a game changer. Buffalo goes and gets a field goal. Denver marches right back down in some critical plays and a beautiful end of half, what we thought, end of half touchdown to little Jordan Humphrey. And then Josh Allen takes off to run the ball, which might have gotten them very dangerously close to, you know, another big play. They get in field goal range. Nick Benito had other plans. He said he saw the film. When Allen gets out in open field, he sometimes keeps that ball out there. And I thought to myself, watching that play, if someone can catch him right now from behind, there's a good chance they can get him to fumble the ball because he was holding it out there. And Benito
loaf of bread
caused the fumble. Denver wastes no time. Go out, kick field goal. It's 20-10 at the half. So, I don't know, guys. What do you want from me today? How much do you want me to talk about that game? How much do we want to go through it and talk about how Bo might have jumped up to maybe, depending on who you ask, tier one status? A guy that wasn't getting a lot of shine all year because the defense was very good and Bo was kind of average. Had his moments, had his bad moments. Didn't take a lot of negative plays, but became a big positive play guy in that game. Or do we want to just simply talk about what it is, how devastating that news is? And now you have a chance for a different story to be written. And that's a backup quarterback in Jarrett Stidham, who, remember, was the backup quarterback when Russell Wilson was in town. Sean Payton famously said Jarrett Stidham at the end of the last year for Russell Wilson that Stidham gave the Broncos a better chance to win. They were done with Russ. And Stidham was who he was. And then they draft Bo Nix, and much of the debate heading into that season, because Sean didn't shut down the debate, was who would be the starter. Do you throw Bo Nix, a rookie quarterback, out there, out to the wolves year one? Or do you give Jarrett Stidham a chance for the first 5, 6, 7 weeks, see how it goes? Bo Nix wins the job. Jarrett Stidham, obviously disappointed, but some of the rhetoric out there is that he didn't handle that very well. He had opportunities to leave last offseason, maybe go to a team where he would be closer to competing for a starting quarterback job. Instead, liked the situation enough in Denver. So that whoever's spreading that garbage, because I've heard none of that, and I have the Broncos insiders that we talk to are pretty damn close to the team. Not once has Jarrett Stidham being any kind of a locker room corrupter has ever come out. So that's dumb. But he did lose the job. He lost it in training camp 2 years ago to a rookie quarterback. So let's be logical here and say Bo Nix was kind of average through his 2 years of body of work so far, with certainly an uptick in that last game. To now Jarrett was not obviously above average to beat Bo Nix out. So you're downgrading there. What all year did we say was the Broncos' best asset on offense? When Bo took off. When a progression wasn't there, second progression wasn't really forming, take off and go. That was the big plays. That's what kept drives alive. That's what allowed Denver to move down the field more often than not. Not to say there aren't guys that make big plays on this team occasionally. And Pat Bryant was off to a phenomenal start, and then he gets hit and gets the concussion. Esai Chris says, welcome back, Michael. Glad you're off IR. Trivia, what show on KFK entered a Bronco touchdown scorer last week? That would be Coach Speak, who interviewed Frank Crum. That was cool, right? I mean, that was awesome to see it. Crum said he'd never had a touchdown, even in peewee football. Even in backyard football, screwing around with the fellas, never had a touchdown. Instead, he reports in as eligible. Beautiful play call, beautiful design. We wondered if maybe there would be some trickery from Sean Payton And it worked.
And now the blonde blocker has a touchdown.
Yeah, it's cool.
Again, Broncos fans, go to Twitter, get that trending.
What trending?
Blonde blocker.
Yeah, but you can't tell people to go there if you're not going to go there. You're not going to go there. The world needs more Michael tweets.
But we need him to be the blonde blocker.
But he caught a touchdown pass. So you're giving the nickname after he caught the touchdown pass?
No, we give him the nickname the first interview.
The blonde blocker?
Yeah.
And he was okay with that?
I don't remember if I told him off the air.
I'm sure either way it was fun for him.
I know that I secretly texted the text line that, you know,
yeah,
he should be the blonde blocker.
Big Hub says, me and my boss believed that he got hurt in the locker room celebrating because you couldn't see him hurt at all. No, Bo was, it was definitely on that final real play. Because the next play was an interference call, and then the play after that was a kneel down. It was that play. It was, Sean Payton confused people by saying second to last play. Maybe he's not counting the field goal or kneel down.
Yeah, those two weren't real.
I mean, because the kneel down, you don't really consider a play, and then it's a field goal. It's not a play. It's a field goal. So in Sean Payton's defense, and maybe some of the fans' defense, the whole situation was kind of confused. People thought he injured it on the kneel down. But it was the play right before, and Sean even mentioned that. It was the play before the Mims throw, the shotgun Bo Nix designed run to the left, just to try to get closer. So that was the play.
Yeah,
and it wasn't an obvious play, but it was the play. And when you watch him walk away, and then you watch him on the sidelines after the field goal goes through, it was odd because some people were posting that Bo looks absolutely exhausted. I thought it was odd because as soon as it goes through, he kind of looks up and then he cringes and then looks and then like bends over. And then I thought, that's odd. Strange. Then I moved on in my brain. Didn't think anything of it. Then after the fact, I went, okay, yeah, now that all kind of checks out. Mike, have we ever had, Tanner asked this question on Good Morning Oco. Have we ever had something like this where you get an amazing win that puts you two games away from winning a championship to 30 minutes later find out one of the big reasons that you're there is out for the season? And this isn't a defensive player. This isn't Nick Benito. And again, nothing against Nick Benito, but it's your quarterback who just played his ass off. And then you walk away with what's next? Have we ever had this in our sports world?
I have not that I can recall. I know there are times where you're like, you hear, oh, there's an injury, or you have an injury in that game, but you still win. Like, I don't remember there being an injury that late in the game, and then
and that important.
You're very high on things, and then suddenly it's like, but.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, this is, again, a quarterback is the equivalent in basketball to star players. So quarterback, Joker, hockey, Nathan MacKinnon. That's what we're talking here. If the Nuggets were in the Western Conference Finals and just won, and then you find out they're going to the finals now, but Joker went down in the final in that game 7 where they won, and he was healthy, like we thought. And then you find out afterward he's hurt. This is big. It's even bigger than that because it's your quarterback. And it wasn't like Bo was elevating his game. So it couldn't have come as at a worse time. I mean, yeah. If this happened in the regular season, you get a quick chance to see what you have in Jarrett Stidham and do you need to make some kind of crazy move. And all this talk, Michael, like, yeah, Broncos need to... is this real? Like, call Drew Brees? I mean, I'm seeing somebody in Denver media who was like, I bet Sean Payton wished he had Russell Wilson now. First off, it's not real. Why would you have the most expensive backup quarterback in the history of the world on your roster who you want to say Jarrett Stidham was some people saying Jarrett Stidham was a locker room cancer, which is far from the truth. Russell Wilson wasn't in the locker room. He had his own office. That's a cancer in and of itself.
So, I never heard Jarrett Stidham being a locker room cancer.
No, it's not true.
If he was a locker room cancer, they would have traded him.
Sean Payton doesn't put up with that, bro. That was the first thing he did when he got here. Yeah, that office thing and Russ having his own little quarterback guy. Yeah, none of that stuff is happening anymore. We're not playing those kind of games. So if Brandon McManus, who liked to screw around a little bit, although he was on the union at the time, so it was reported that maybe Sean Payton didn't want to deal with a lot of union reps that are on his team, but he also kind of, like, he came to a practice once or twice in his career with, like, a referee jersey and just kind of screwing around, and it was rumored that Sean Payton was kind of like, yeah, I don't like that guy's vibe. If Sean doesn't like your vibe, he's not going to take very long. And the fact that Jarrett Stidham survived the first offseason without Russ, or the first offseason with Sean, or the second offseason, I should say, tells you what you need to know. If he was a locker room cancer, Sean Payton would have dealt with that. You do not want that. A backup quarterback being any kind of a cancer. We've never heard that. But Denver media coming out yesterday, for some reason, the defense of Russell Wilson comes up after, I mean, where is this coming from? But people just like to fish, man. They like to just start that rumor mill.
Sounds like these people need to be on cable media. Like it's all just like star newspaper that you buy at those newsstands right before you check out. Like this stuff's ridiculous. Like, give me real news, not your stupid alien rumors.
Alien rumors. Missed those kind of references while you were gone, Mike. Everyone thought you actually quit.
You ever see the Star
Everyone
magazine.
Thought you
this person is an alien.
You mean National Enquirer?
Yeah, that.
I used to be so scared of those things. We'd be checking out at Walmart or Kmart or Alco, one of the three, and you'd always see the magazines there, the People magazine stuff, and then suddenly there was National Enquirer. Meet Goat Man. Half man, half goat. Ah, that's terrifying. Is that real? Must be, because it's on the cover of this magazine.
Has this celebrity gotten really fat? This is what this reporting is. It's ridiculous.
It's beige
media.
They don't have a backup quarterback on the roster as soon as their starter goes down. This isn't the Colts. The Colts were in a weird and unique situation. But now that it happened, that's the norm we want to start throwing out. No. They went with Rivers because they were already down, what? Two or three guys were already hurt, and then they were like, yeah, we're close to the playoffs. We could still make it, but we don't have any confidence in this. Was it Riley Leonard? We don't have any confidence that he can run the offense. They have confidence that Jarrett Stidham can run the offense. Absolutely. He won't run it like Bo. He won't break it down. Or when things break down, he won't be able to do the same things that Bo does. But is he that far off of a passer as Bo? I don't know that we're sitting here saying Bo's strongest attribute is his passing. It's not bad, and there's moments where it's flat-out good. That throw to little Jordan Humphrey, both of them, the one he dropped and the one he ultimately caught, were both phenomenal throws. But Bo is making some big plays with his arm and with his legs. Eastside Chris says, I think you touched on it earlier. Stidham had the chance to go elsewhere. He wanted to stay here. Yeah, and they wanted him to stay here. That's not a locker room cancer, so that's why you listen, we make takes. I throw takes out there sometimes, but never to get people going.
Never to be stupid.
Now, I did pick CSU to beat CU a couple of years ago, but I truly believed that, Michael. And then when Buffs fans got so pissy about it, I doubled down. I had a fun summer with that. Ultimately, they got the last laugh, whatever. But I'll admit, that was the one time in my career where I felt strongly about it, sure, but then to see the amount of Buffs fans just lose their minds became very entertaining to my brain, so I doubled down on it. Pretty much once a week would post that the Rams would beat the Buffs, and I had a blast, and I would have done it all over again. But that was the only time that I kind of gave into that. And that was fun. I picked a team to beat another team. I wasn't spilling out false information after the fact. We try to be logical here. We try to entertain. And if you're clicking on our stuff that we're saying because we're entertaining, because we're logical, great. I appreciate it.
How many of these media sources are like real media sources and not like the fake stuff that I see when I open up my internet browser and it's like a partnership with this company?
Well, radio.
I mean, I'm talking like, are they real?
Yes, these people are real. And radio is not necessarily And we talked about this when the Lynn Jones stuff came up. Radio is, yes, we're going to talk about the news of the day. We're going to give opinions. We're not going to spread false news. We're going to give opinions. And sometimes those opinions, you got to be careful. Don't interpret opinions as fact. In radio, that's what we're all about here. You could read a newspaper, and you've got opinionated pieces, and you've got factual pieces. It's up to you to figure out, make sure you're reading the right ones, and you're looking at a guy like Sean Keeler knowing that he is an opinionated writer. He's not going to write straight up, here's the score, here's how it went down. He's going to interject his thoughts on the game. In radio, we all do that. But as far as the take that, or the presented as an actual newsworthy item, that Jared Stidham is a locker room cancer, that's the stuff that's dangerous. That's the stuff that whoever spreads that kind of garbage, your trust factor for them should go bye-bye. Yes.
When the Broncos signed Jared Stidham, I was very happy. I'm like, that guy's going to be a great backup quarterback. I know he's not a starter.
Yeah.
I was super excited for him to come to the Broncos.
I don't know if I was super excited. I'm never really super excited when I see a backup quarterback. I just kind of go,
relatively, you know, relative to the position.
No, you were super excited.
I was super excited relative to the position. You lose your starting quarterback, whoever your starting quarterback is. You have someone that I have confidence in. If Russell Wilson was the backup quarterback, it would. I mean, I've seen Russell Wilson play. He can throw the long ball, but
give me Russell Wilson from 5 years ago, and hand up here. You know, let's go. That'd be fine. That'd be great. But if you gave me Russell Wilson from 5 years ago, Mike, Bo Nix would not be on this team. So I don't know where the thought process went there. Aaron, I thought it was stupid to hear the national heads talk about quarterbacks to bring in. They put so much focus on how many days it has been since Jared Stidham has thrown a regular season pass, and every guy they brought up has a longer days without throwing a regular season pass. Correct. Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning. I think the Manning one is more National Enquirer type stuff. Cam Newton. No. Why have a backup quarterback on your roster if you're just going to go call guys from the streets every day? Save a roster spot if you're just going to do that. Sean Payton's confident in Jared Stidham. Should you be? Does that change this Patriots-Broncos game? And the Patriots, will talk about that, but they're for real. They took on a red-hot, smoking red-hot Houston Texans defense, but also caught a Texans offense that has been sputtering for quite some time now. That sets up our matchup. Either way, the winner is going to have to take on Rams. Seattle. Seattle looks, I mean, dude, they made the 49ers look awful. Just awful. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Got a lot to talk about today. I want to talk about the Broncos defense coming up. Let's give them their flowers. They weren't perfect. There are cracks in that foundation, but when you do some of the things that they were doing yesterday, you can win a lot of football games. It's a dangerous way to live because you can't count on it, but this is what they were missing the entire season. This is the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA. All of the lights.
Jared Stidham saying, turn off the light. Turn on the lights, man. Turn on the lights.
Yeah, Jared.
Let's get you going. Word. Mike, we're gonna go pump up all week. We're going to go pump up all week because we cannot let one guy going down kill the vibe of this team, kill the vibe of Broncos country, because you're in the AFC Championship against Drake May and the New England Patriots. I don't know. Drake May? It's January, bro. You know, it's January. Okay, yeah, maybe that was bad. If he wins, though, you got to say, hey, after, you know, it's going to be May. Something like that will be fun. Jared Stidham. I mean, in his career, you know, he was drafted fourth round in 2019 by the New England Patriots. Played for the Pats for two seasons. Had one season with the Raiders. On his third season now with the Denver Broncos. He's a backup quarterback, guys. He's not a starter. He thinks he can be a starter, and that's what good. Some people think that's cancerous to say you think you should have, you know you're a starting quarterback. When he lost the job to Bo Nix, he said something along the lines of, you know I'm a starter in this league. Obviously, I'm disappointed, but, you know, my job is to, you know, just be here and be the best I can be. Some people read that as cancerous, and I don't understand what he was supposed to say. Was he supposed to say, you know, the right man won, and let's clear. I probably, to be honest with you guys, it probably shouldn't even been that deep of a competition. I should have been out of this one a while ago. So let's just, hey, I'm like you guys, fingers crossed, hope Bo doesn't get hurt, because it's going to be like spinning the chamber, man. No, yeah, that's what he should have said.
Yeah, I think it was the tone of it. I think a lot of people didn't like the tone. But
I didn't think it was that.
Yeah, you're right. He said the right thing.
That's
he
what
was
anybody
disappointed.
Says.
They both played really
yes,
well.
Yes, it's
and
fine.
Honestly, it could have gone either way.
It could have gone. Well, and maybe by rights, rookie year, you could have said, yeah, let's start Stidham. But there's two schools of thought. Do you throw a rookie into the fire early, or do you let him sit back and kind of watch the game evolve around him? Either one has worked, and either one has not worked. So, turns out it worked. And Bo's a pretty good quarterback. And the last time out, it looked like he was climbing the ladder to the QB Tier 1 status. Aaron, I love how Broncos country has started using the phrase relative to. Yeah, Sean Payton likes to use the relative to. Eastside Chris, I looked at Stidham's stats. Three seasons, college, 64.3% completion. 13 games, basically. NFL, 60%. Words from Aaron, R-E-L-A-X, relax. Faith says, hey, sounds like my friend is feeling better back there. LOL. Yeah. I knew Thursday there was something wrong. I knew there was something wrong. You said it was your back, and I was like, you're being particularly whiny today. So there's something more than just your back, and it turns out you were dying.
Yeah, you know, I should have known that it was a sickness.
You had that look. I can tell when you're sick now. You have this look. You just, your eyebrows scrunch. You look really pissed. See, now you're not even doing it now. You have a little bit of a smile right there when you're doing it. You just look miserable.
I have some leftover pizza. I'm excited.
Do not
about.
Eat the pizza, Mike, for the love of everything.
Last night was the first time that I ate real food, if you count DiGiorno's as real food.
Yeah, absolutely. I count DiGiorno's as real food.
And it was great.
Speaking of real food, Big City Roadhouse. Guys, they got some great things coming up for the Super Bowl. Amazing pizza, wings. The list goes on and on of what you can get there. And I'm telling you, you go there, they're going to have great discounts on Super Bowl Sunday, and you're going to have a chance to win. What did I say? Was it a 55-inch smart TV? I mean, this is amazing stuff that you're going to get a chance to to win a TV. You walk in, they're going to give you a ticket. If you get one of the tickets, then you get a chance to go stand up at halftime and turn the TV on. And if your remote is the, if you win a remote and your remote is the lucky one to do it, then you win the TV. Plus, they're going to be doing discounts on beverages, on beers all day. Dude, they have more TVs now than they've ever had before in that place. It is such an awesome place to go watch a game. And I'm telling you guys, if you don't have Super Bowl plans yet, you need to make your Super Bowl plans at Big City Roadhouse. You will not be disappointed. The food is amazing. And I am going on a quest this year in 2026, Michael, that will have me trying everything on the menu. I'm going, not at once. I'm not you. I'm going to try everything on the menu.
I don't eat that much at one time.
Yeah, but I could see you trying to do something like that, and then you just get hurt. And
no, see, what I have a big belly. I don't have a big stomach.
True. Yeah, okay. But I'm pumped for this. This is going to be awesome. And they have some great Valentine's Day stuff coming up, too. It's not that far away, Michael. They're going to have oldies, classic rock, country, like live music from 5 o'clock to 7:30 that day. And then karaoke. And excellent discounts, as always.
Count me in on the oldies.
On Super Sunday, Mike, $3 domestic pints, $4 micro pints all day, and then the big chance to win the 55-inch smart TV. So, amazing stuff happening at Big City Roadhouse.
Now, you're going in on a quest.
Yeah.
I'm going in on a request.
To join me on one of these?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll have you join me. We'll have the dude down the hall. He's going to film it, and we'll walk in like normal people, Mike. Like normal people. We walk in like a normal person would to go to a restaurant.
You're going to have to teach me how to do that.
Yeah, you walk in, you open the door, you say hello if there's someone greeting you. They seat you. You don't have to ask a bunch of questions like, who's your favorite football team? And, hey, did you guys catch the Star Trek Episode 8 last night when Darth Vader, you know, had a tummy ache and he couldn't fight the Lizard King? I don't need any of that stuff. And then we just sit down, and then we try a menu item, and we eat it like normal people, and then we give our review of it at the end. Mike, can you do that?
Do I have to make eye contact?
With the camera, probably, yeah. Maybe with the waitress or waiter, whoever's waiting on us, yeah, preferably.
Well, absolutely with the waiter or waitress, because they bring you your food,
yeah.
So
yes.
You have to have a quality relationship with that person.
Yeah, the answer is yes. You have to make eye contact with people. You have to talk to people. And you've done it before. I've seen you do it. So we'll try something great, and I'm looking forward to it. Hey, big news tomorrow. I got a special co-host stepping in with me for 3 hours tomorrow.
All three?
All 3 hours. UNC head football coach Ed Lamb.
Oh, my God.
I've been asking him to do this with me for a while now. And the schedules kind of sync up. And we're not going to do 3 hours of UNC football. We'll talk a little bit about the team and everything. But
and how they're going to win 11 games.
We're going to talk about the state of college football. We're going to talk about the Broncos. We're going to talk about everything. He's a sports guy, too. So Ed Lamb's going to be sitting in with me tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Because normally we do Football 52 together. All podcast, 1 hour podcast or so. And it's usually, for the most part, updates on his team. And then we kind of talk some college football. But we're going to get a different version of Ed Lamb tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. 45 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado. And you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Anyway, you will never understand it, cause it happens to fast, and it feels so good, it's like walking on glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet, but it makes no difference, cause it knocks you off your feet.
I said do pump-up music the rest of the way. The very next song is this.
This is pump-up
music. It's a good
music.
Song, but is that a pump-up song? Is Jared Stidham bumping this right now?
Are you not pumped up by this?
I was
this?
More pumped up from Rihanna's All of the Lights earlier. That's what I'm talking about.
That's not Rihanna. That's Kanye West. It says Kanye West on Spotify.
She's the one who sang the pump-up part of that song, though. Like the cool part of that song.
I don't listen to Rihanna, so I
you know. Literally just listened to Rihanna when you played her in, coming into the last segment.
The so you do Rihanna listen to Rihanna. The song that I really know is the Lonely Island song.
Okay.
Lonely Island featuring
yes,
Rihanna.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. He said, Chris Brady, you sound like Dr. Rick in the Progressive commercials trying to teach Michael from becoming one of the senior citizens, signed Brian. I do feel like that guy quite a bit, actually. Yes. Quite often. Actually, the comparison that was made to you that I from me, have you ever seen the movie What About Bob?
It's been a long time.
You get the concept of the movie, though, right? You remember the concept of it? Bill
yeah.
Murray, Richard Dreyfuss. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, and you're Bill Murray in that movie. Does that make sense?
Because everybody likes me except for you.
Well, because I see the real you, and you're and I'm the one you drive insane.
No, because everybody likes me.
You're like the cuckoo clock. Cuckoo clock. Everybody wants to see that thing pop out once in a while. That's cool, man. Problem is, I live inside the cuckoo clock. So you go out there and go blah 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 blah, and then you come in and you just go blah 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 the whole time. So what people see is like, oh, there he goes, pops out, boom, cuckoo clock, and then he goes back in. I'm inside the house trying to sleep. But you're in there, 51 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Broncos, Patriots, also some good games over the weekend. And Mike, it's the national championship. It's a national championship game. Tonight, you forgot, didn't you?
I did forget.
Yeah.
It's on a nothing day.
Yeah, it's on a nothing day. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Also, hoops update. Rough one for the Nuggets, but overall still pretty good. Bears, Rams, Buffs. Ew. It's the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
And talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Did you catch any other games over the weekend, Mike?
I saw parts of most of them, didn't catch the one last night.
Did you make any picks? I did make picks. I did pick Seattle to cover. I think I picked Houston to cover, so I got that one wrong. I picked the Rams to cover, but I believe that was -3.5. So I could be wrong on that one. But I definitely got the Seahawks right and the Broncos right.
I picked the
I'm going to take the
Texans.
Rams. You know what? Screw it. I'm taking the Rams. I'm 3-1.
I took the Texans. Okay, I'm so, like, the Texans defense. Oh, yeah. My God.
I believe so. I have to go back and listen. Because I didn't write them down. I just went off. I didn't have the Broncos until last second. Last second, I said, you know what? I like the Broncos. And got it right.
I've liked the Broncos since I was 8.
Seattle is ridiculous. The Seahawks, man. Sam Darnold didn't have to do much, but whatever he did, he was pretty good. He was pretty good. 12 of 17, 124 yards and a touchdown. That's all you need when your defense is playing like that. It was a rough go for the San Francisco 49ers. And yeah, Faith, I do want your thoughts on the Bears, because that was like Jekyll and Hyde for Caleb Williams. But that throw he had to make that thing into to basically send it to overtime, that's the best throw I've seen in a very long time.
I picked the Bears too.
Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.